Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. There's still some rain and snow to deal with in the east and northeast early in the week, although it will be light. 1 to 3 inches of snow in Pittsburgh, Philly, Chicago, and Detroit. A bit more, 3 to 5 inches in upstate New York, Syracuse especially, and about 1/4 inch of rain in Boston, New York, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Nashville, Tennessee. Later in the week, towards Wednesday, we'll melt some of that snow in Washington, D.C. with 60 degrees, Atlanta close to 70 degrees, and further south, some sunny skies will warm Texas up to the mid and upper 70s through Houston, San Antonio, down to the lower Rio Grande Valley, Brownsville, McAllen, and, of course, Corpus Christi. More rain and snow in the Pacific Northwest, heavy rains in Portland, Oregon, and a little bit less in Seattle, still rainy though, with heavy snows in the Cascade and Northern Rocky Mountains. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. When aquariums go bad. Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
A guy who has no veterinary training whatsoever decides to give a C-section to his French bulldog and broadcast it on TikTok. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
I just think that you said it just to be stupid.
Out of the blue, it's Sterling on Sunday. Who knew that this would continue for 8 years? This show has been on Sunday nights for 8 years. And now that you've heard Debbie Gibson sing, you're obsessed with it. Obsessed. James Montague is like, oh my God, I have to hear it again and again. It's okay. It's a normal reaction. Everybody wants to hear Debbie Gibson over and over again. I hear the sounds of radios turning off throughout the Lehigh Valley. It's the least I can do. It's good to flush out the old-timey talk radio audience and bring in the new-time talk radio audience. My 8-year-old goes to a good public school. It's a good public school because all the parents have convinced each other that she's going to a good public school. Well, you know, this is a very good school. We know that this is a fine school. Most of us went here ourselves. It's one of those schools where people from the community have been going to that school forever and have talked themselves into believing it's a very good school. I ain't convinced. I'm not completely convinced it's a great school.
I have
diabetes. I may have mentioned this to you before. The other morning, I took my daughter to school. And then I realized that we didn't have lunch for her. We hadn't brought her lunch. I went back to the school, and while I was standing at the door, no one was around, while I was standing at the door, I realized a common problem among diabetics, which is that when we need to go, we really need to go. It's always an urgent, dangerous situation. We have to go. I buzzed on the front door of the school to drop off my daughter's lunch. And an administrator came to the door. And I looked at her, calm and polite, and I said, with my mask on, I said, I really need to go. I have diabetes. It's an urgent situation. Please let me go to the bathroom. No, you don't understand. I really need to use the bathroom. Just a minute. And she disappeared. She went away. And she came back and said, Mr. H, the principal, says no. Per Mr. H, you can't use it. And I looked at her and I told her the truth. I said, then I'm going to go in my pants. And she was stunned in silence because, you know, there are certain parts of the country where people don't know how to deal with these things. It's one of the many reasons why I miss New York. Because in New York, one, they would have let me do it. And two, they would have known how to deal with it. They would have known how to deal with it. But in parts of the country, they just go, oh, you're fine. Oh, you're fine. It's not, you know, as long as you don't bother us, you know, you're fine. She wouldn't let me use the bathroom. I had a mask on. It's my kid's school. And more outrageous, it was because of my constant pounding and efforts that when they renovated the school, they put in central air. I got them their central air. I got them their central air. And I couldn't use the bathroom. And all I felt like was this.
That the community was steadfast.
I did.
But Henry's life has been ripped apart. If ever an overpriced, self-important, full of school needed to step up.
This is coming from the board. They feel we need to create distance between Reardon and all the ugliness. I cannot exalt your grandson's needs at the expense of the schools writ large.
Well, I can. I've given a lot of money to this school, Mr. Conifer, and I've always considered it a privilege to be able to do so. But make no mistake, I am a sucker, and I don't mean that in the sense of gay belittlement as it's currently come to be interpreted. No. I'm an old-fashioned sucker, the more traditional kind, the kind who fucks over anyone who hurts me or a loved one. You speak of ugliness, Mr. Conifer. You have not yet met ugliness.
Oh, yes, that's how I felt, standing outside my kid's school, needing to go, not being allowed to go. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that, ladies and gentlemen, are the real issues that you and I deal with every single day. And for some reason, I never hear the actual issues on the radio, but I'm tired of it. I'm over it. That's what we're going
to
do.
We need to get you dressed.
888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. I am Walter M. Sterling. 888-688.
I'll track you down. And I will kill you myself.
WALT. Oh, we're going to have a good time tonight. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. When aquariums go bad. Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
A guy who has no veterinary training whatsoever decides to give a C-section to his French bulldog and broadcast it on TikTok. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Sterling on Sunday.
Where news and sports and the weather reports and the very best music too is heard by the very best listeners.
Sterling on Sunday with Walter M. Sterling from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast. An honor to be with you, a privilege. I love talking to you, and I love talking to you on the radio, on the phone. My phone number, live, we're live, 888-688-WALT. Did you get it? That's my phone number, 888-688-9258. Demographically targeted music. You have to target your music for a specific demographic, and that's what Debbie Gibson serves us with every week. Lee in Philadelphia listening on the great WPHT, home of Dave Scalish. Welcome.
Hello, Walter.
Sir.
Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Oh, good, because I've been having trouble with my phone. I've been listening to you for 8 years. I don't know if you remember, I call from time to time.
You called last week.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I wanted to tell you, I can be a very obsequious person. You told me to call at 12:15, but I couldn't do that, so I wanted to let you know. Plus, you told me not to talk on the speakerphone, but there's something wrong with my phone. And my life has been going into a downward spiral since December 19th. Some kid hit me on the Roosevelt Boulevard. You know the Roosevelt Boulevard?
In New York or in Philly?
No, in Philadelphia.
Yes.
The Roosevelt Boulevard, it's like a death trap. This kid hit me.
A death trap.
It's death trap, yes. I almost got killed. He hit me. He must have hit me at like 70 miles an hour.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so, but I didn't get hurt at all. I didn't see him. All I knew was that something hit me, and I turned around. I looked around in his car, and I could see that his airbag was opened up, and his hand was shaking, and it was bleeding.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
888-688-WALT. More on that accident coming up in seconds. Here's the secret for you. I actually know Debbie Gibson, and I know that she does a great call-in talk show. She's a terrific talk show host. Do you think anybody would have the common sense to hire her to do a talk show? Oh, God forbid, no. Does she have opinions on politics? No. Stupid. All the stupids got together. It's very upsetting.
We need to get you dressed.
888-688-WALT. Bill in Burlington, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Good evening, Walt, first-time caller. I heard your story, and I have one to match from when I was very young.
All right, wait. I want to tell the story again because people tune in at completely random times, which is rude, but that's what they do. I told the story about the fact that I delivered my kid's lunch, my 8-year-old's lunch, to her school because I'm a real dad. She forgot it. I took it. Knocked on the front door of the school, and I realized I had a problem. And the problem was that I really had to go. I'm diabetic, and if you're diabetic, you know that when it's time to go, you really have to go. The administrator shows up at the door, and I say, listen, here's the situation. And she said, no, you can't come in. I said, what are you talking about? I pay for this school. I got you central air. Well, just a minute. And she went and came back, said the principal said no. I said, do you understand? It means I am going to go in my pants. Silence, you know, because in parts of the country, people are just silence. Now, excuse me, sir, please go ahead and tell your story.
Yes, sir. This goes way back. I'm 52 now, but this is when I was in grammar school. And it was a private school, otherwise great. They had a situation where they had some student hall monitors who were there. My father had to get to work early. He had all his business attire on. He drove us. I believe it was just me. I don't know if my brother was with me or not. And it was a brutal, brutally cold winter day and ice and snow and just terrible inclement weather. And my father said, I'm going to drop you off. And he saw me go in and he figured everything's okay. And then he sees me come out, and I'm standing there out in the cold. And then my father walks over. He says, what's going on? And I said, well, the hall monitors, and these are students a few years older than I, they told me that the policy was that they can't allow any students in the school physically until 7 or 7:30, whatever it was, and I would have to wait outside. And my father said, this is insane. And he was a negotiator. He was, you know, he could talk. And he said, let me go in there with you. And he basically read them the riot act. These kids in a nice way. And said, my son's not going to stand out in the cold and get sick and get exposed to the elements because you're being arbitrary on this day. I could understand if it was a beautiful spring day. Yeah, the doors don't open until 7 or 7:30. So basically they went and they fetched the principal and the issue got resolved, and on that day, I was allowed to stay there. You know, and that's the way you got to kind of squeaky wheel gets the grease. I'm sorry it didn't work out for you. And a funny thing is, last week I went to do some business at an office, and like you, I'm a mild diabetic. When I gotta go, I gotta go. And I asked the gentleman; they had a private bathroom for employees only. I said, "Mayor, I really need to go. It's urgent." And the guys tell me, "Well, the insurance won't allow us to work here." So he said, "Well, look, go to McDonald's." I said, "The McDonald's across the street." I said, "Well, the McDonald's is locked up. It's only drive through, so the men's room's not accessible." So I literally had to walk a block, and by then it's getting real bad. You know,
right.
It was a number two. I needed to say, you know.
Right, right.
And I found a Chinese laundry, and the lady who was an Asian lady, she's nice, but she was very stern. She's like, you know, we can't allow you. You know, we don't allow a customer to use men's room, right? And I talked and I pleaded with her. She says, okay. She says, you make a mess, you clean. And then I laughed. I said, oh, I'll clean it real good. I gave her a thumbs up and a smile.
Crazy. Get rid of it.
It's unbelievable. Going to the bathroom is a basic human right. It shouldn't be this big deal. You don't buy something in order to use our bathroom. No, I shouldn't have to buy something to use your bathroom. Those are called public restrooms. And the fact is that it's a ridiculous situation that we're too often put in. But I have found that the magic words, I have diabetes, I really need to use your bathroom, that has worked for me at all those places that have shut their bathrooms. I don't know what the cause and effect is between COVID, you know, COVID and a public restroom. That's a mystery to me. But all of a sudden, places that used to be accessible are not, or it's a fight. Often I will go into a Dunkin' Donuts, and it's clean and not a problem. Other times I'll go into a different Dunkin' Donuts and it's got police tape and chairs in front of it. When did this become such a horrible big deal? Your experience, your challenges in going to the bathroom, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. What I have found is the magic words, hi, I'm a diabetic, I really need to go to the bathroom, could I use your bathroom? Has worked in almost every case except my kid's public school. Why doesn't it work in my kid's public school?
But the community was steadfast.
I did. But
Henry's life has been ripped apart. If ever an overpriced, self-important, full of school needed to step up.
This is coming from the board. They feel we need to create distance between Reardon and all the ugliness. I cannot exalt your grandson's needs at the expense of the schools writ large.
Well, I can. I've given a lot of money to this school, Mr. Conifer, and I've always considered it a privilege to be able to do so. But make no mistake, I am a sucker. And I don't mean that in the sense of gay belittlement as it's currently come to be interpreted. No. I'm an old-fashioned sucker, the more traditional kind, the kind who fucks over anyone who hurts me or a loved one. You speak of ugliness, Mr. Conifer. You have not yet met ugliness.
That would be a great T-shirt, wouldn't it? You have not yet met ugliness. You have not yet met ugliness. Oh, my God. The great Donald Sutherland. Amazing talent. He always plays very rich, very mean men. He's the best at it. There's nobody better. It's 29 past the hour with the astonishing Walter Sterling. You are listening to Sterling on Sunday. I'm on from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Sunday. It's a three-hour show, a giant three-hour show. You may ask yourself, why am I not on more? Don't ask me. Now, I need something from you. Sterling Snaps. Sterling Snaps. Take out your overpriced iPhone and take a picture of whatever you're looking at, whatever it is. If you're driving, don't take the picture. But anything else, if it's not moving, if you're not moving, take the picture and email it to me, and I post it on Facebook. Send it to Walter M. Sterling, S-T-E-R, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. waltermsterling@gmail.com, and we'll post it on Facebook later in the week. This is Sterling on Sunday. This is only
a test. Can you guess the mystery voice? Sterling on Sunday.
First Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. More tranquil weather this week, and with spring just a month away, I thought we'd recap some snow-fatigued cities. Oklahoma City, for example. It started snowing before Halloween, and it's now just 3 inches away from its snowiest year on record, some 25 inches. And what a difference a year makes in New York City. They got only 5 inches of snow all last year, and it's gotten more than 2 feet of snow this month alone. It could come in with one of the top five snowiest Februaries of all time, and we've only got 7 more days in the month, and a couple of more inches due to fall tonight and tomorrow. Nationwide, high temperatures will continue to moderate, especially over the central plains of Kansas, Nebraska, up through the Dakotas, and of course, Texas. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather, 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. You're so nice. For our first story, we're going to right outside of Tallahassee. There's a bike trail, and a guy is jogging along, and he noticed an abandoned pair of women's running shoes. That's odd. He does a little more searching. Is there a woman around here? No, but he does find some soft dirt. Looks like some stuff's been buried, so he digs it up. What he finds in there is women's clothing, another pair of women's shoes, candles, and what appears to be animal organs, non-human organs. Okay, so he calls the cops. Cops go out there. They check it out. So far, they say no foul play is suspected. They don't know why the items were buried along the trail. They still don't know who they belong to. The case remains open. They're still looking into it. Hopefully, I'll be able to give you an update on this pretty soon. But only in Florida could you find that and be like, nah, that's not weird. There's no foul play suspected there. What is like a satanic ritual for joggers? Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, this is in Lake County and in the living room of a Florida man's home. He's 33 years old, and this Florida man is apparently some sort of freelance veterinarian or wannabe veterinarian. He has a TikTok account, and on his TikTok account, he was doing a C-section on his French bulldog. Here's where it gets super weird. The 33-year-old Florida man is not a veterinarian. He has no veterinarian training. He was just trying it out, and he thought he'd broadcast it at the same time. It didn't go well. The dog was rushed to the nearest actual veterinarian and actually died right after that. So he's been arrested. He's charged with all kinds of stuff, cruelty to animals, impersonating, whatever. Yeah. Freelance, untrained, just an amateur vet. That's great. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to Estero, Florida. And I don't think Estero's actually been on an episode of Florida Stories before. So congratulations for your first story, Estero. A couple of friends are playing golf, and one hits his ball. It kind of does a fade right next to the pond where a little alligator, and I mean little, like it's only like 4 feet long, not one of these 200 pounders or whatever, grabs his golf ball. And so what do they do? Luckily for us, they pulled out their phone and started recording it. And so then the alligator is looking at him with the golf ball in its mouth. It kind of looks like a scene from Happy Gilmore. And the guy kind of starts to get close to it with the phone, and then the alligator runs off. And then the big question is that a mulligan or does he get a drop? I'm sure they already have this figured out in Florida, but it's a really cute video. Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
This show has the best production team in American radio. I have James Montague. I have got Phil, James Copeland, everybody working hard together to put together this astonishing show, a show that will win no awards, would never be on an actual radio company's website or anywhere, but here we are.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz, and this is the usual edition from Public Radio.
We're not going to have the usual edition this week. Everybody froze to death. It's like everybody who works with me is in Texas. No, that didn't happen. But the fact is that some weeks we just can't find the magic of enough caffeine. I'd like to say, and enough cigarettes, but, oh, gee, it's illegal to smoke cigarettes, so there's no more enough caffeine some weeks to put together the usual edition.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz, and this is the usual edition from Public Radio.
Isn't she remarkable? I am so blessed that Randy Thomas is the voice of the usual edition. I have no idea why she does it. Her and Charlie Van Dyke, what a team. What a remarkable group of people put together this show.
I will track you down, and I will kill you myself.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's my live phone number, and I'd love to talk to you. Also, I want a picture, a snap, a Sterling snap of whatever you're looking at. Doesn't matter. Often I get pictures of people watching QVC, which I find entertaining, or Billy Datz's family in, what town is that in Jersey that they are? But they're in some town in Pittman, New Jersey. And I have a story about Pittman, New Jersey coming up. No, really, who would have a story about Pittman, New Jersey but me? Here I am. I have a story about Pittman, New Jersey. Oh, my God. Texas is having problems this month. Their wind turbines have frozen up. Now all the official talk show hosts are saying, this is terrible. The wind turbines, those are the energy sources of Satan. That's the energy source of Satan. We can't have that. Wind turbines. Well, it's not just the wind turbines. It's also the oil turbines, the oil-driven turbines, and the coal-driven turbines, and the gas-driven turbines. Because what do they work on? What, children? Third row on the right. Oh, you're right. Water. They all work on water. And when they put in these generators, which all work on steam, the point of these turbines is to make steam with oil, gas, wind power. All of them work to generate steam. That's what generates the electricity. I'm not going to bore you with that. You learned it in fourth grade. I didn't learn it as well as you did, but basically that's the idea. But here's the thing. When they installed these water pipes in Texas, the arrogance of the Texans was, well, you know, they'll never freeze. Now, believe me, in Norway, where they have wind turbines, where they have windmills powering things, they figured out how to make sure that those water pipes didn't freeze. In Norway, they got it down. In Jersey, they got it down. In New York, they got it down. In upstate New York, they got it down. Any place where it's actually cold most of the time, either spiritually or in terms of temperature, they figured out, gee, maybe we should throw some blankets over our pipes so they don't freeze up, so it doesn't kill the electricity. But, you know, we're Texans, you know, we don't need any of that sissy stuff. We don't need any of that sissy stuff here in Texas. We can manage it because it's always warm in Texas. And we have no state income tax. And we have ribs. And we have real tea. They have this iced tea that's the best you've ever had in your life. We have real tea, you know, not like that New York stuff, which is oversweetened. We have sweetened tea and not sweetened tea. We distinguish between the two. And we should secede. Yes, you should. If you live in Texas, you should secede. Go. Now, here's what happens when Texas secedes. And I believe they should. Because it's a different nation. In every way, it's a different nation. But they should secede. Because the minute they secede, they will realize in a profound way what a good deal it was being part of the continental United States. Number one, that no state income tax, well, that'll be gone day one. They'll need a state income tax to pay for everything. They'll need the state income tax. Number two, they'll get rid of their phony accents. They'll sober up real quick. They'll stop drinking beer on the side of the road and go, oh, my God. They'll start talking like a Harvard professor, go, well, we have to review the situation very carefully. Perhaps we were a little bit rash in seceding from the United States. And now we're our own country. Yeah, imagine how that would be their own country, because they would have the biggest border challenge of any part of the United States, wouldn't they? far more than California or Arizona, Texas has the longest, largest border facing Mexico. Now, all of a sudden, their challenges with Mexico would be profound. It wouldn't just be sort of amusing and interesting in a political football. No, it would be life and death. It would be life and death. I want Texans to realize this. I want them to. Oh, and then those flotillas from Cuba landing on their shore. Why do I have this? Oh, I see. I'm like, why am I hearing these things? Their flotilla from Cuba would be overwhelming. It would be like, oh, my gosh. You know, they'd have to deal with international issues at their border, whereas up till now they just had to deal with Louisiana and party boys. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Yes, Texas, secede. Get out of here. Be the best thing that could happen. All the problems you have with your power, self-made problems. We believe our problems are of our own making. And that's what happened in Texas. Oh, gee, why would we ever need to... Why would we ever need to heat our pipes? We're Texan. It never gets that cold. And we have the Dallas Cowboys, and we have the Houston Astros, and that solves all of our problems. The arrogance of Texans is remarkable. It's remarkable. And did you know that when Lyndon Johnson died, he was the second richest president of the United States in history? I was stunned to see him. Like, where'd he get it? He had a dirt farm. Where the hell did he get all the money? He was the second richest president of the United States when he died. That's all I know about Texas politics. But I say, let them go. If they want to secede from the United States of America, go. Get out. Go. What are you going to call it? Oh, by the way, we own the rights to the name Texas. You can't have that name. You're going to have to come up with a new name. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. This is a live radio show on Sunday night. You're not going to find another one. It's called Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. When aquariums go bad. Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Imagine, if you will, a modern version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears and involves a Florida burglar. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
Clothes so dingy gray they've been given up as hopeless have turned so radiantly white again they can hardly be told from new ones.
Now we return to Sterling on Sunday.
All right, coming up, we have the We have Drive Through Brew. We've got, we have the drive-through brew. That's coming up for you in just seconds. Plus, Velo Hool will have the only network radio fishing report. I know you will enjoy that. And Florida Stories, a second edition of Florida Stories. May in Atlantic City, New Jersey, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Yes, Walter, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to tell a bathroom story.
Tell a bathroom story. May, hold on. Let me share why we're telling these stories. The reason we're telling these stories is that I have a minor case of diabetes, and that means when you have to go, you got to go. And I was at my kid's public school dropping off her lunch, and I really needed to go. And I said to the administrator at the door, I said, let me go to the bathroom now. I said, no, really. I had the mask on. I'm diabetic. You got to help me out here. Hold on. And she went and checked with the principal, came back and said, he says no. And I'm like, really? Because if you don't let me go, I'm going to go in my pants. And by the time I got back to my car, I had gone in my pants. Now, May, let me hear your story.
Okay, the mall was closed, so I had to go across the street because I had to go to the bathroom. The guy would not let me go to the bathroom. I said, well, let me take care of this. I reached into my pocket, and I gave the guy $5. He said, "Oh, I'll lead you to the bathroom." That's my story.
So $5 got you into the bathroom. I understand that's the sort of bribe you want to make. Now, I have a question for you, May. You live in Atlantic City. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Did you see Trump's hotel be demolished?
No, I didn't see it demolished. It was too cold outside. Unfortunately, I didn't see it, but I felt so sad that it was demolished because that was Trump's first hotel, and that was his baby.
Thank you very much for your call, May. I appreciate you listening to Sterling on Sunday on WPHT. It was the biggest hotel in Atlantic City. He owned it twice, first time and then through a bankruptcy, and they just demolished it this week. 888-688-WALT is my phone number, 888-688-9258. Live on a Sunday night with Wesley in Haverford, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Walter?
Yes, sir.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on your earlier observation about LBJ. He got his money the old-fashioned way. He married into it, same as the former Secretary of State, who goes around the world talking about you know, conservation and everything. Anyway, his wife's family owned a chain of radio stations in the Southwest, throughout Texas and everything. And this guy was basically an elementary school teacher. Very modest background, very modest everything, and I think through a series of white envelopes under the table and his wife's money, that's where he amassed his wealth.
This is the mistake that you and I have made, Wesley. We're not getting envelopes under the table. We did not marry a wealthy woman. And, you know, that John Kerry you're talking about, that wife of
John
his.
John Kerry, right.
Yeah, that wife
of
his.
Well, he did it twice. He married a billionaire, then he dumped her for another billionaire's, John Hines's wife, who got her money from her husband, who unfortunately died in a helicopter crash 5 miles from here in Lower Marion.
Oh, Hines's, his wife, Hines, didn't inherit that from her family? That was from a husband?
That was, yeah, it was Hines is the Hines family, you know, the food family.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what her background is, but she got her money
from a husband.
John Hines, who was an heir to the Hines family fortune, and he was a U.S. senator, and he very unfortunately was in a helicopter that crashed right on a playground on a an elementary school about 5 miles from here. In Lower Marion.
I didn't know that. I thought she inherited it through her family, but she inherited the Hines money from wealth, from a husband.
From John Hines.
Wow.
Right.
Listen, I really appreciate the information, and I appreciate your call. I thought she was terrifying. When she gave a speech for him to run for president at that convention, I believe that's why he lost. Because she was terrifying, and she was wearing a shiny leather dress, and you never do that on TV. Thank you very much for your call at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I have too much to do in the next hour, and I look forward to talking to you on Sterling on Sunday.
This man. What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. There's still some rain and snow to deal with in the east and northeast early in the week, although it will be light. 1 to 3 inches of snow in Pittsburgh, Philly, Chicago, and Detroit. A bit more, 3 to 5 inches in upstate New York, Syracuse especially, and about a quarter inch of rain in Boston, New York, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Nashville, Tennessee. Later in the week, towards Wednesday, we'll melt some of that snow in Washington, D.C. with 60 degrees, Atlanta close to 70 degrees, and further south, some sunny skies will warm Texas up to the mid and upper 70s through Houston, San Antonio, down to the lower Rio Grande Valley, Brownsville, McAllen, and of course Corpus Christi. More rain and snow in the Pacific Northwest, heavy rains in Portland, Oregon, and a little bit less in Seattle, still rainy though, with heavy snows in the Cascade and Northern Rocky Mountains. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Stories. For our next Florida story, we're going to Miami, Florida, where a guy who looks like he can't afford an airplane ticket is getting off the plane from Jamaica, so that's already suspicious. He has some funky looking flip flops and he's kind of acting a little nervous. So they pull him aside for extra screening. Turns out his flip flops in the soles, there was an extra sole that was stitched under it and there was a pack between them and there's cocaine in both of his little flip flops. So then they said, okay, well, just standard procedure. We're going to give him a quick x-ray. They give him a quick x-ray and he has swallowed a bunch of baggies and it's all full of cocaine. And he almost got 2 pounds through his flip flops and a couple of baggies that he had swallowed. He passed them all, and they washed them off and took a picture for you, put it on the website. Thanks a lot, guys. That's what I want to see is pass cocaine baggies. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, I can just read you the headline. This is from Polk City, Florida. 4 injured when Florida teen pours gasoline on bonfire. You know, it's a popular saying, you know, pouring gasoline on a fire. For the rest of the world, that's a bad thing. For Florida, it's like, hey, we should try that out sometime. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, this is in the general area of South Florida, like basically from where the swamps start down. They're having a big issue with pythons and other reptiles. They're invasive species. They have no natural predators, and a lot of them are getting out, and they're starting to have a huge problem, which is tons of giant crossbred python snakes in Florida. They now have new species of pythons because so many Florida men have bought different kinds of pythons, and they've escaped, and then they've crossbred in the wild. So now Central and South Florida are going through what's being called the snakepocalypse. I think that's a little overshooting it, but they're banning all kinds of animals now, including a tegu. You know what a tegu is? Yeah, I didn't know until today either. It's just this little type of lizard from South America they're having a problem with. But look, you learned a new word thanks to Florida being weird today. Tegu. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida story, this is just quintessential masterpiece Florida story in Lake City. It's a little bit before 7 p.m. Florida man, 34 years old, decides to kick in the door of a pretty nice residence. And the family's not home. And when they get home, the dude is laying on the couch watching TV. So he comes in, and this is kind of like a sort of Goldilocks and Three Bears. Excuse me, are you wearing my clothes? Are you eating my food? Are you watching my TV? And the guy's like, yeah. What are you doing in here? Nothing. And then they notice he had actually gone through the house, got everything he wanted to steal, and put it in a few garbage bags and left them by the front door. And then he was just hanging out, I don't know, catching up on his Netflix, I guess. Criminal mastermind. Brilliant, Florida man. Just absolutely brilliant. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production. SpringRockMedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. I am live on a Sunday night on KDKA, KFBK, and KMOX. Those are hallowed call letters in American radio. It's an honor to be on those radio stations. But more importantly, it's an honor to be on your radio driving across the country on Route 80, Route 91, Route 71, or as it's known, Route 91, the Luge in upstate New York. John, in Kansas City, Missouri, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I always listen to you on Sundays out here, and I've followed you for quite a while, and you always got great shows. One of your features I used to like was you'd get a caller who was kind of a wacko, usually about some strange conspiracy theory, and you would stop them and say, you upset the monkey, and the monkey would go off. Now,
you upset the monkey. When I moved, we had to leave the monkey in our previous residence until we could get settled, and now the monkey is with me in this laundry room. I suspect that means that you will be hearing more from the monkey.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
888-688-WALT is my phone number. 888-688-WALT. Everybody's very, very excited. Program directors have suggested that the key to success is to have demographically targeted music. And therefore, we did the research and found that Debbie Gibson's music was the perfect demographic target music because it appeals to women. It appeals to 43-year-old women, which would make that's the younger end of the demographic of most stations that air Sterling on Sunday. And that's why you will be hearing much more from Deborah Gibson. 888-688-WALT, live on a Sunday night. We're on KFBK, and KFBK is an important radio station, not only because it's owned by iHeartMedia and programmed by Bill White, but because it was the starting station for Rush Limbaugh. When you have a successful syndicated show, that is a two-part process. You must have somebody who's very talented, like Rush Limbaugh, and you must have an evangelist, a chief evangelist, somebody who says, this is great, you need to take it, and doesn't give up. That person has to be walking credibility. That has to be somebody who you got to take the phone call. If they want to meet with you, you're going to meet with them. And that's what Rush Limbaugh had. The man's name was Ed McLaughlin. And Rush and I had one thing in common, which is Ed McLaughlin. Ed McLaughlin had been the president of the ABC radio networks for about 15 years. He was a dare-to-be-great kind of guy. You'd go out to lunch, to dinner with him, to dinner, to the bar, and he'd put his arm around you and essentially dare you to be great. Dare you to be all you could be. And when he was done with you, you believed you could be much better and much bigger. When Ed found out about Rush on KFBK, people said to him, so what'd you think of him? What did you think of his show? And I heard him say this. He said, I saw the ratings. Like, it doesn't matter what his show was. I saw the ratings. And he saw how Rush outperformed the rest of the shows on KFBK. He saw the math of Rush Limbaugh on KFBK, and that made Ed McLaughlin say, I got to syndicate him. Now, what that meant was that Ed McLaughlin picked up the phone and went door to door in America and convinced radio stations to put him on the air. Now, Ed could do that because his previous job had been to put Paul Harvey on stations across the country. And he had been at ABC for 15, 18 years. He had the credibility, the gravitas of having a position like that, and he was able to get access. He also did not take no. The man did not know how to take no. He could challenge every single objection without a second thought. It was fun for him. He volleyed it back. If you put me in a sales situation where I'm going to be challenged and have to deal with objections, I just get progressively depressed and sad. But Ed McLaughlin, he'd come to life. The more objections thrown at him about taking Rush Limbaugh, the bigger he'd get. Oh, my God, you're going to take Rush. And he'd convince him to take Rush. Half of Rush's success was Ed McLaughlin. Now, Ed tragically passed away 2 years ago. And before he passed away, he gave a fortune to the Broadcasters Foundation of America. He was a generous, generous man. And he took care of his wife in the best way, both financially and spiritually. He took care of his children. I never knew anybody quite like Ed McLaughlin, but it was Ed McLaughlin combined with Rush's talent that brought Rush to life. In the early days, when they were still formulating the shape of the show, I was in Ed's office, and an interview came out, and the interview had Rush saying, "Our job is to inform, inform, inform." And McLaughlin turned white. He looked, he said, "I have to talk to Rush. His job is to entertain. That's his job." And ever since then, ever since 1988, whenever Rush was asked, what do you view as your job? He said, "My job is to entertain, entertain, entertain." And he got that from his partner, Ed McLaughlin. It was a perfect combination. I'm sad to say that they both left us. They were both gifted people. They inspired us. And there was a cliche almost at a, we're almost at the cliche point where people say, "Well, you know, Rush saved the AM band." He really didn't save the AM band. I'll tell you what he did do. He made broadcasters who were responsible for AM stations to sit up straight and see what could be done. He made them take broadcasters who owned AM stations, take them seriously. No, they're not about to die if you take them seriously the way Rush did, the way Rush Limbaugh did. Therefore, it is an honor for me to be on KFBK, Rush's originating radio station. I am Walter M. Sterling from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., 3 hours every Sunday night, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
All right, I want to hear from you with the Sterling Snap. Take a picture of whatever you're looking at right now and send it to me, and I'll post it on Facebook later in the week. Send it to Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. And I'll post it on Facebook probably Tuesday. Take a picture of whatever you're looking at. And then remember, I have a podcast. Now, God help us if we don't promote the podcast, because it appears that the entire radio industry is dependent on the success of podcast. Why 50,000 watt signals or KMBZ Class C FM signals aren't good enough, I don't know. It would seem to me that they are really good. But it's a wacky business. Here, I'll give you an example. If you look at a website, what's the first name of a website? It's www, World Wide Web. World Wide Web. When the internet started up and radio stations were putting up websites, and to this day, when I would say to them back when I was a consultant and I wore expensive suits and expensive shoes, and I prayed for one thing, which was upgrades to first class. That was my entire reason for living, was to get upgraded to first class. I had systems for upgrading to first class that were amazing. Every one of those desk people at every airline could be bribed to give you the upgrade, every one of them. And once you were on the plane, if there was an empty seat in first class, the flight attendants could upgrade you if they wanted to. And what it took to get them, I'm turning that off, what it took to get them to upgrade you wasn't much. I found that if I wore a camel's hair top coat, I would get upgraded. I found that if I had a suit and tie on, I would get upgraded. I found that if I had an expensive suitcase, I would get upgraded. If I looked like a first class kind of guy, I'd get upgraded. That's really all it would take. Did you see that story about the plane falling from the sky today? There was a United Airlines 777 where the rim around the giant jet engine fell off and the engine caught on fire. Can you imagine looking out the window and seeing it caught on fire? You imagine being in the house where that giant metal steel rim fell on the house? Nobody got killed. How nobody got killed, I don't know, but that's a miracle in itself. Truly a miracle. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Now, I want to see what you're looking at. Take a picture of it. Send it to me. I'll put it on Facebook. And the address is WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. Send it to me now. Don't send me anything moving. I don't want anything moving. I don't want you taking a picture while you're driving. Coming up later tonight, we have toll road news. No other radio show in America does toll road news. But I think it's very important to keep track of the people who are in charge of the tolls, because they talk to each other. They conspire to make our lives a living hell. Did you know that? Well, they do. They have conventions. The toll takers have conventions, national conventions, where they all get together and figure out how to conspire against us. The single most important economic transaction you and I do on most days is that stupid toll. And those guys are talking to each other. They're talking to each other. And please note that toll derives from troll, T-R-O-L-L, and it was the trolls under the bridges in medieval times that would force you to give them money. And it's no different today. But about the podcasts, the dumbest thing ever is how the radio industry has gravitated toward the podcast. Oh, and I was saying about the World Wide Web. Okay. When the World Wide Web came along, I used to go station to station, and I'd say, well, what are you going to do with your website? And they'd say, well, you know, I think we're going to use our website to be more local. I'm like, what? Well, we're going to use it to be more local. I'm like, no, you're local by law. You have a 50-mile radius signal by law now. Federal law says your signal can go 50 miles. That's it. If you're an FM, it can often go less. We're going to use our website to be more local. But the first name of your website is Worldwide. Why don't you use it to build out a worldwide marketplace for your radio station, a worldwide business marketplace? Because that's the first name, Worldwide. Well, you know what I think we'll do, Walter? I think we'll use our website to put up pictures of our DJs. Have you seen your DJs? With their Kmart clothes that spill over their gut, you really want to put up pictures of your DJs? You think that will help the business? That's what they would do. That's the thinking in my business. Therefore, when they say, well, you know, podcasts are very important. Podcasts are very important to Wall Street. Because when Wall Street sees that you have a growing podcast business, they're more likely to invest in your business, because all Wall Street people want to do is invest in rapid, dramatic, suspicious growth. That's what they want to invest in. A radio station and a TV station is proven. There's predictable growth that will happen, and it's proven. Why invest in that? I swear to you, this is the insanity that we deal with every single day. It's 29 past the hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's a three-hour radio show every Sunday night, and we are live. Yes, we are live. Coming up, I've got the drive-through brew, another Florida story for you. Velo Hool will talk about trouble with the fish tanks. There's no other network radio show that has fishing reports. I really can't do better than this. It's fairly remarkable. And you, let's talk, 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. You heard about the trouble in Texas this week. I say they want to secede. They should secede. I think it would be the best thing for America if they did secede. Bye-bye. Go. Go. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Live from an all-American laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
First Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. More tranquil weather this week, and with spring just a month away, I thought we'd recap some snow-fatigued cities. Oklahoma City, for example. It started snowing before Halloween, and it's now just 3 inches away from its snowiest year on record, some 25 inches. And what a difference a year makes in New York City. They got only 5 inches of snow all last year, and it's gotten more than 2 feet of snow this month alone. it could come in with one of the top five snowiest Februarys of all time, and we've only got seven more days in the month, and a couple of more inches due to fall tonight and tomorrow. Nationwide, high temperatures will continue to moderate, especially over the central plains of Kansas, Nebraska, up through the Dakotas, and of course, Texas. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather, 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
NASA's Perseverance rover reveals the true color of Mars. And you got to see these pictures. You can find them online. Many places I posted on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page. The true color of the surface of Mars is beautiful. It's like a Martha Stewart beige. It's a beautiful color. Combination of rust. It looks like a malt. It looks like a coffee malt, which is, of course, my favorite kind of malt. It's beautiful. What an achievement. And you realize they kind of minimize some of the things about it's not just a rover. It's a rover and a helicopter. That's right. They sent a helicopter to Mars. Once everything is going and activated and all the batteries are on, they have a helicopter that they can fly around, a drone. It was a helicopter that slowly dropped the rover into the crater, which they believe is a lake bed from a billion years ago. But let me suggest this. They're always saying, well, you know, a billion years ago, it could have been a lake. Or 100,000 years ago, it could have been lake. Let me suggest something else. That it was never a lake bed. There was never a lake bed there. Instead, the lake and the ocean are coming. One of the interesting things about the universe is something has to be first and something has to be last. When they say, well, you know, we're one of a billion planets that support life. Well, maybe we're one of a billion planets that support life. Or maybe we are the first planet to have life. Or maybe, and this is a sad and scary thought, maybe we're the last planet to have life. Maybe there have been 1,000 other planets that already had life and the life cycle ended, their suns died, or they atomicked themselves out of existence. Maybe we're the last one. Maybe there is no other life in the universe because it's gone. It existed and it's gone. Their atmospheres burned away. Radiation killed them. And now it's just us. We can send out all the probes we want. We're not going to find anything because we're the last ones. Or because we're the first ones. And our probes will put life on other planets, and they will take, the life form will take. We don't know. But it's an interesting fact that mankind's always looked at the stars, has always been curious about the stars. As many, many scientists have said, it would be far more practical use of funds to explore the oceans, because we know there's stuff there. Food, plants, science is in the oceans, and it's here. We walk to the beach. But instead, we are obsessed with going to the stars. We're obsessed. I knew they weren't going to find anything on Mars. That is a desert planet, either because it hasn't started yet or it ended long ago. It's not living underneath the surface. It's not waiting to be brought back to life. There's nothing there. Sending humans to a desert planet does not sound like a good method to save the Earth. I think Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter, is a better shot. That would be my hunch. That's a better shot, where there are lakes. They know there are lakes there. They know for sure there are lakes on the moons of Jupiter. Jupiter. All right, it's pretty exciting. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I do this live radio show every Sunday night, and I look forward to talking to you 888-688-WALT. Now, I have interesting sounds. Oh, yes. There's a story that I am obsessed with.
Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles are sparking dating rumors after they were seen holding hands at a friend's wedding over the weekend. A source tells People they were in Montecito, California for the wedding and were, quote, affectionate around their friends as they held hands and looked very happy. The source adds that they've been dating for a few weeks. The pair are also seen holding hands in their formal attire and masks in photos obtained by Page Six. They were later photographed at Harry's Los Angeles home with luggage in tow. Their outing comes weeks after People reported that Olivia and her longtime partner, actor Jason Sudeikis, had split in early 2020. The pair first started dating in November of 2011, and Jason proposed shortly after the holidays in 2012. They share two children. This fall, Olivia and Harry worked together on the psychological horror film Don't Worry, Darling, which also stars Florence Pugh. Olivia pulled double duty on the project, co-starring and directing.
Olivia Wilde is very beautiful, but every time I've seen her, she has scary eyes. Her eyes are scary to me. She has, I would call you at 2 a.m. if you cross me eyes. There are certain women who should not wear eye makeup because their eyes are so big and so stunning they don't need it. And when they put eye makeup on their eyes, it makes them scary. And that's the deal with Olivia Wilde. Don't wear eye makeup, Olivia. You look better without eye makeup. Fine. So now she has made children with Jason Sudeikis, a funny man. They have two beautiful blonde-haired California children. Everything was fine when they lived in Brooklyn. They were like real Brooklynites. They were the sort of people who would eat avocado toast. That's how you know people are from Brooklyn. They decide to move to California. Why they decided to move to California, they didn't memo me. I don't know why, but I'm sure it was wrong. They get out there, and all of a sudden, the world has changed. There are many opportunities for Olivia she couldn't find in Brooklyn. Do you know why? Because in Brooklyn, if you are clearly a family unit, it is the nature of the people who live in Brooklyn to not fool with it. Nobody was going to screw around with Olivia Wilde in Brooklyn. It's a small community. No matter where you are in Brooklyn, it's a small community. They weren't going to mess with her. They'd be caught in 2 seconds. Jason would not be happy. The kids in their private school would not be happy. The nanny would not be happy. None of it would work. But in L.A., la, 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 la. In L.A., she can make out behind the private Montessori school. No problem. And there he is, Harry Styles, the leader of the band for a generation. But he also wears pearls. Did you know that? And a dress. And it wasn't just on the cover of Vogue. He went to a ball in New York City in pearls and a dress. It seems like a bald move. Now, he's dating Olivia Wilde, who has two small children with another man out of wedlock. Yes, I have a problem with that. Shoot me. You bet I have a problem with that. Where are the kids? It's like Scarlett Johansson and her new husband, Colin Jost. Where's her kid with the French guy? That thing that didn't work out with the French guy. Where's her kid? I never see her kid. Now we have Olivia Wilde and her kids. Where are the kids? Do you see Harry Styles taking the kids to school, making them lunch? Taking them to the pediatrician? I don't see any of that happening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, 3 hours every Sunday night live, and I look forward to talking to you at 888-688-9258. Yes, John Quick. There's John Quick. 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. When aquariums go bad. Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday. I purchased some guppies, about 2 years ago from a very prominent breeder. And he sent me one variety of guppies that's beautiful. Well, he had something terrible happen. He lost all the guppies of that line. So he reached out to me and he said, "Do you have any of those gray-bodied female swordtail guppies available, and ironically enough, I did. So I'm shipping him some so that he can rebuild his fish room. He said he had disease go through it. Well, this happens all the time in the fish room, and it's something that every fish keeper should keep an eye on. Now, this guy did everything right. He does everything right. He makes sure the water changes are right, all the things that are going on, but he had sickness move through his aquariums. This can happen to anybody. It's happened to me. And sometimes it's called sick aquarium syndrome, where all of a sudden you cannot keep an aquarium healthy and happy. So what I do is I generally move the fish to another aquarium, taking them out of that water completely. I wash out that aquarium with a little bit of hydrogen peroxide. I change the filter. I reload the aquarium, then I move fish into it, and usually that solves the problem. Taking care of fish, you think it's easy. Sometimes it's not. From Maine to La Jolla to my living room, this is Sterling on Sunday Fishing Report. I'm Deadliest Catcher, Velo Hool.
I will track you down, and I will kill you myself.
David, no. Yeah, David in Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, David.
Hi there. I really love your show. The lander on Mars, it wasn't a helicopter that brought it down. The unit itself is underneath a carriage, and as it gets near, the parachute releases, and then this carriage above the lander has retro rockets on it, and it hovers above the ground and has wires that lower it to the ground. Once it fills the connection, the carriage with the little rockets on it will blast off away from what just landed.
Isn't it an unbelievable feat of engineering? What a remarkable...
It blows my mind. One more thing about Olivia Wilde. Cowboys and Aliens, that's where I first discovered her because I love science fiction. Did you see her in Cowboys and Aliens?
I did not. It was a movie that was just begging to be... the credibility was just way too far out for even me, a man with no brain. No, I first saw her in The O.C.
Oh, okay.
Where she was a bartender in The O.C. and insanely gorgeous, crazy gorgeous.
Well, I did love her in that particular. I love science fiction fantasy, so I suspend my belief all the time because I want to be entertained like that, you know.
But listen, David, she's run off with a man in pearls. She's run off with a man in a dress and left her two kids with a comic.
I just like a movie. Shirley?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Where's your station out of? What city is it out of?
We're on 100 stations across America. Where are you? You're in Jacksonville.
Oh, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, but your home station, what city are you out of? Your home station, I mean.
The home station's WPHT in Philadelphia.
Oh, great. So, great. Okay. Well, I love hearing you down here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Well,
if you ever get to see Florida, Jacksonville is the lovelier towns to live in.
No, I know Jacksonville's great, and when I come to Florida, I'm going to stay with you.
I will track you down, and I will kill you myself.
888-688-WALT.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
888-688-9258.
And it's coffee break time at Denison Close, Route 22, Union, New Jersey. Open 10 a.m. to 5 in the morning and open now. Reopens again at 10 a.m. and is open all day Saturday till 12 midnight, closed all day Sunday.
That was a commercial that ran on a radio show that ran all night through 38 states for years. And I'm like, why is there a need for a clothing store to be opened all night? Across from a nightclub in Union, New Jersey. It always mystified me what that was.
And it's coffee break time at Denison Close, Route 22, Union, New Jersey. Open 10 a.m. to 5 in the morning and open now.
Open 10 a.m. till 5 the next morning. It was a clothing store until you went there. And then you realized they were in a whole different business. Their business had very little to do with clothing, but a great deal to do with getting suited up.
That the community was steadfast.
I did, but...
Henry's life has been ripped apart. If ever an overpriced, self-important, full of school needed to step up...
This is coming from the board. They feel we need to create distance between Reardon and all the ugliness. I cannot exalt your grandson's needs at the expense of the schools writ large.
Well, I can. I've given a lot of money to this school, Mr. Conifer, and I've always considered it a privilege to be able to do so. But make no mistake, I am a cocksucker, and I don't mean that in the sense of gay belittlement as it's currently come to be interpreted. No. I'm an old-fashioned cocksucker, the more traditional kind, the kind who fucks over anyone who hurts me or a loved one. You speak of ugliness, Mr. Conifer. You have not yet met ugliness.
I just think that you said it, just to be stupid.
I'm Walter Sterling. It is good to be with you 3 hours every Sunday night. That's right. 3 hours. Now, I'd like to see what you're looking at. Take a picture. Take out that overpriced cell phone. Take a Sterling snap and email it to me, WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. Coming up, I've got for you Vic Ferrari. Vic Ferrari is a retired New York City police detective. And Vic has the best stories, the best cop stories. If you could hang out in a cop bar, you'd hear Vic Ferrari. Plus, I have toll road news. One of the shocking things that I learned as a grown-up is that the people who run the toll roads talk to each other. They have conventions and conferences, and most terrifying, they have a newsletter. And in that newsletter, they share secret information about how to deal with communities and raising tolls. They have strategies on how to raise tolls, and they cover it in a newsletter. Now, I figure, you know, maybe they need that newsletter once a month. Nope. Every day they have a multi-page newsletter on basically how to screw you and me and Keith Mortensen, who's driving an 18-wheeler for UPS right now. All of us are at their mercy every time we hit the road. And then I'm going to share with you a story about a bank. I hate banks. I hate commercial banks, and what they did to my 18-year-old is unbelievable. And I'll give you an update on the life of my 18-year-old in just seconds. This is still...
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. There's still some rain and snow to deal with in the east and northeast early in the week, although it will be light. 1 to 3 inches of snow in Pittsburgh, Philly, Chicago, and Detroit. A bit more, 3 to 5 inches in upstate New York, Syracuse especially, and about 1/4 inch of rain in Boston, New York, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Nashville, Tennessee. Later in the week, towards Wednesday, we'll melt some of that snow in Washington, D.C. with 60 degrees, Atlanta close to 70 degrees, and further south, some sunny skies will warm Texas up to the mid and upper 70s through Houston, San Antonio, down to the lower Rio Grande Valley, Brownsville, McAllen, and, of course, Corpus Christi. More rain and snow in the Pacific Northwest, heavy rains in Portland, Oregon, and a little bit less in Seattle, still rainy, though, with heavy snows in the Cascade and northern Rocky Mountains. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm J.J. Wilson, and this is Drive Through Brew, the weekly serial that examines the courageous struggles of two guys who sell beer and T-shirts at a drive-thru. The manager is speaking to his employee, Jake.
Jake, that lady from the health department is coming next week, so we gotta scrub the oil stains from the floor, the exhaust grime from the windows, and the rust stains from the toilets.
Can't we just move into another building?
Don't worry. Look here. I bought some special super cleaner from an infomercial on TV.
You ain't gonna clean nothing from that little bottle.
It's concentrated. You just mix one drop in a gallon of tomato juice. Or is it lemon juice?
Later that day...
Mr. Manager, I've been scrubbing my arm off and these toilets look worse than ever. That super cleaner ain't done diddly.
I don't understand. It worked perfectly on TV.
But we ain't on TV. We're on radio.
Will the drive-thru ever be stain-free? Listen next week when Jake says...
Next time I'm working at a place with no toilets and no floor.
That's next week on another gritty edition of Drive Through Brew. Word Car speaking.
Neil Paul, Billy Datz, happy birthday to the Datz mom. Happy birthday. 29 today. It's spectacular. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I have to mention that Billy Datz lives in Pittman, New Jersey. His family's in Pittman, New Jersey. They all had birthdays this month. And the strangest business is in Pittman, New Jersey. You have to hear. Listen to this story. I've got a story for you. The RCA factory that made radio tubes, radios, and microphones was in Pittman, New Jersey. That's where the RCA factory plants started. And they were there for like 80 years. And then one day RCA got out of the radio set and radio parts business and sold itself to GE, which was a disaster. And just a disaster. And I could have told them it was going to be a disaster if they had listened to me at the time. Anyway. There was a guy who was obsessed with RCA microphones, and he hung around the plant in Pittman, New Jersey. I have to turn this phone off. I'm hearing noises from this phone. He hung around the plant in Pittman, New Jersey, and gathered up parts. He gathered up ribbons, wires, fixtures, fittings for RCA microphones, because in 1967 they stopped making them. No new RCA microphones were being made, and there was one very particular type of RCA microphone that radio geeks like me are obsessed with, and it is the RCA model number 77. It's the one Johnny Carson sat in front of. It's the one that David Letterman sat in front of at the beginning of his show. It was round. It looked like a pill. That's what it looked like. It was looked like a pill, and on either side of the pill, in the middle, was the holder, and you could adjust it. It is a ribbon microphone, as opposed to a dynamic microphone, which is what I'm talking to you on. But a ribbon microphone has a certain quality. It has a certain vocal quality coveted by actual radio people. It is helpful also to have a great voice, which I don't have. But if you have a great voice and a ribbon mic, it's from heaven. That is transmission from heaven. It's beautiful. However, ribbon microphones take a lot to maintain, they break easily, and they're hard to fix. You won't believe this. There is one guy in America who can fix RCA ribbon microphones, and he's in Pittman, New Jersey, and his business is E-N-A-K, Enak, Enak, and he's about 83. And he has an assistant named Luke, who looks like a runway model. His assistant, Luke, and he fix the RCA microphones. That's it. You send it to him. He charges you a completely reasonable price for fixing them and then sends them back to you. perfect, pristine, brand new. I'm such a genius that I was given an RCA 77. Radio people, listen to this. It's a horrible story. I was given an RCA 77 about a year ago. And what did I do? I dropped it. I dented the cover, busted the ribbon. I dropped it. But ENAK, the ENAK company, fixed it. And I will be getting it returned this week. And I am grateful for that. And mentioning this, no, it doesn't get it to me free. I pay for it like anything else. But I'm fascinated by a man who's the only man in America who can fix these things. I am fascinated by anybody with that level of skill. People with that level of skill are rare. And coming up in just seconds, I'm going to tell you a commercial bank horror story. And I want to hear your commercial bank horror stories. 888-688-WALT. What's this show? 3 hours every Sunday night. It's called Sterling on Sunday.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
Demographically targeted music appealing to a 43-year-old woman. That's what you want in your bumper music. Please note, I don't use bumper music because that's for losers.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we're not going to be used. Fear is not going to be something that we're going to, that's going to be what drives our country. We're not going to be scared of Muslims or immigrants or, you know, women.
Well, George Clooney, thank you so much for the most miserable prediction in the history of predictions. It's 19 past the hour. We're driving across the country right now. It's our time. You and I are alone in the cab of the truck, alone in the car, and the glow from the dashboard is just right. And the temperature has settled to exactly the temperature we want. And no matter how cold it may be outside, we feel cozy. And I don't mind using that word, even though I'm a man. We feel cozy. And it's a great feeling. Got the coffee just right. The gas is full. And we're safe. There's nothing more spectacular than a good truck ride. Right, Keith? Or a good car ride. The sense of accomplishment is spectacular, and it's real. You drive for 8 or 9 hours in a day. You have, in fact, accomplished something. It's a great feeling, and it's something that they don't have in Spain. I don't think you can drive 8 or 9 hours in Spain, and it's not what it is like here. And there they don't have, you know, gallons of gas. They have liters. What the hell's a liter? Do you know what a liter is yet? I don't. When my current wife and I were first dating, we landed in Paris, and our goal was to drive to Monaco. We were renting an apartment for a week in Monaco. And I love Monaco because those are topless beaches with French girls. And they're girls. French girls on the beach topless. That's what happens all day, every day in Monaco. And they serve you premium French food on the beach in Monaco. My wife decided to drive from Paris to Monaco to see France. Now, I'm stupid. I didn't realize that's like from driving from Chicago to Dallas. It's an insanely long ride. I also didn't understand the difference between gazole and supra. Gazole and super. I thought that super was premium gas, and gazole was gas. And I didn't understand enough about French news to know what a gas strike was. As we were making this drive, the country was hit by a gas truck driver's strike over a four-day holiday weekend. I'm driving on the road, la la la, ooh la la, ooh, la mer, da, 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 da. I'm all into France. I'm happy. And I didn't know what the difference was between gasoil and Supra. I thought that Supra was premium gas and gasoil was gasoline. I was very wrong. Gasoil is diesel and Supra is gasoline. Therefore, when I pulled into a gas station, there were rules because of the gas strike. You could get 1 liter of gas. That was it. I didn't understand that. I just kept saying, fill it up. And I think it was self-pump. So I kept filling it up. And I kept filling it up with diesel. The rented Mercedes, I kept filling up with diesel. And now I pull out of the gas station and I'm right at a toll booth. And the car stops running. And poetically, I'm in Cadillac, France, on a hot summer day in Cadillac, France, pulled over to the side of the road. And now we call a tow truck, and they say, well, you put in the wrong kind of gas. You put in diesel in a regular gasoline engine. Hopefully, you didn't destroy the engine. When should we call the rental place? The mechanic said, maybe we need to call the rental place. I'm like, please don't call the rental place. See if you can fix it. So they decided to see if they could fix it. They drained the diesel gas out of the engine, and there was a high likelihood that they would not be able to fix it. But, oh, by the way, they are closing at 3 because it's a holiday. Please don't close at 3. Please ignore that it's a holiday. I'll pay you whatever you want. Now, the good news is that I did not know the conversion of francs to dollars. I had no idea how I was being screwed, but it was a lot of money. It was like $2,000 to drain the car of diesel, put in gasoline, and boy, were we lucky. We didn't break the Mercedes, the rent-a-car Mercedes. Oh, my God. That was my first exposure to driving in France. Then we get to Monaco, and it was magnificent. It was great. Because there were topless beaches. What can be better? I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I are listening to Sterling on Sunday. It's Sunday night. I got 3 hours with you every week, and I'd love to be with you more. But for now, we got 3 hours, and I'm happy with that. And I tried to do a good show for you. What do you think of the show? Do you enjoy the show? I need the feedback. Our research budget is a sandwich. I get a sandwich with somebody. They tell me about the show. That's our research. I have a live phone number. It's 888-688-WALT, live on Sunday. Live on Sunday. And an email, waltermsterling@gmail. Oh, and thank God, a podcast, which is called Midnight Misfits at Apple iTunes. Midnight Misfits at Apple iTunes. I had a horrendous experience with a bank, and I'm sitting here debating whether or not to tell you the name of the bank. There may be affiliates that have this as a local sponsor, and I'm very hesitant. But here's the deal. My 18-year-old daughter, who already had her boyfriend killed this year, has gone through quite enough. She puts money, a couple $100, into a bank account that she just opened, a student account, and she just turned 18. She puts it in there, and then it disappears. They took it out of the account after a couple months. After several months, I had put money in myself. I had gone to a branch of this bank, which starts with a K. I had put money into that bank to inflate her account so that she would have money in college. She'd be able to come and go as she pleased. She'd be able to come home and visit us. I put money in that account. She works a part-time job in college. She put money into that account. And what did they do? It disappeared. And we're like, hold on. We're like, where is the money? Where is the money? The bank informs her that when she opened the account, she had not presented the correct ID. She had not presented the correct ID. And therefore, they were shutting the account, writing a check to her, and mailing it back. Well, there were a couple problems here. She had presented exactly the right ID. She presented a real driver's license. She presented a proof of address. And they seized the money, wrote a check, sent it to the wrong address. She has yet to get it. And for all we know, she will never get it because it's a commercial bank. And as you know, all commercial banks are crooks. I've never heard of such a thing. If it had happened the next day, if they closed it the next day, that'd be one thing. But they closed it a good 2 months after she had opened it. And after I had deposited money into it, after money had gone in and out of it, it was just fine. And all of a sudden, it wasn't fine. They shut the account. Now, she will never do business with them again, and she will be a successful woman. She will be a successful woman till she dies. So they're going to lose about 80 years of a client. Plus, her father's telling this story on the radio. Plus, she will tell this story the rest of her life. Commercial banks are horrible. I've never had a good experience with a commercial bank. I'm very glad to see that one of them is suffering a class action suit for the crooked way in which they use overdraft charges, that they manipulate the date of hitting of charges and deposits so that they can suck out $35, $38 overdraft charges for no particular reason. Is that the easiest money in the world? A bank charges you an overdraft fee and it costs them nothing. It's an algorithm. Cost them nothing. There was no risk. These are the biggest crooks on the planet. These are the money changers in the temple. They are horrible. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Coming up, I have Vic Ferrari with New York City retired detective stories. He has the best detective stories, nothing else like it. And I'm going to play for you a song that was a huge hit in the rest of the world and for some reason was not even played on the radio here. And every now and then I hear a song that changes my life, that resets the DNA in my body and makes me so happy that I just can carry on no matter what. And I'm going to play that for you coming up in just seconds. Plus, the legendary Dr. Dave Iser will have an update on the weather situation across the country. And my firm belief that what happened in Texas this week confirms what they say, which is that they want to secede. I say, you go right ahead and secede. I think it's a fantastic idea. 888-68. Yes, Texas should secede. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Wear your hearing things. Wear your hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
First Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. More tranquil weather this week, and with spring just a month away, I thought we'd recap some snow-fatigued cities. Oklahoma City, for example. It started snowing before Halloween, and it's now just 3 inches away from its snowiest year on record, some 25 inches. And what a difference a year makes in New York City. They got only 5 inches of snow all last year, and it's gotten more than 2 feet of snow this month alone. It could come in with one of the top five snowiest Februaries of all time, and we've only got 7 more days in the month and a couple of more inches due to fall tonight and tomorrow. Nationwide, high temperatures will continue to moderate, especially over the central plains of Kansas, Nebraska, up through the Dakotas, and of course, Texas. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather, 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardized that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story I'm working on. So many former NYPD members have caught the acting bug, making the transition to the silver screen. Whether they know it or not, NYPD cops are well-trained actors after a 20-year tour of duty. Cops play a variety of roles throughout their careers that provide immunity to stage fright. Every day is an open casting call without the luxury of a script. Everything from rigorous cross-examinations to having to deliver gut-wrenching death notifications is something Juilliard students could only dream of. The ability to change personalities like Sybil is tailor-made for acting careers. Having to play someone other than yourself is second nature for NYPD cops. And let me give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. Before Jerry Seinfeld's TV dad, Morty, retired to Sunnydale Boca Vista, former detective Barney Martin had a 20-year run with the NYPD. Before he was Tony Soprano's Capo Carlo on the television show The Sopranos, Arthur Niscala was an undercover NYPD detective. Then you had former Sergeant Lionel Pena, who appeared in several 1970s iconic films. Whether he was the teenager delivering pizza to a desperate Al Pacino in Dog Day Afternoon, or the gang member tormenting Dustin Hoffman yelling creepy in Marathon Man, former NYPD Sergeant Lionel Pena has carved out an impressive acting career. If you close your eyes and press three random digits on your television remote, chances are you're going to be staring at Bo Deedle. The barrel-chested, gravelly-voiced actor was once a member of the NYPD's elite street crime unit. Bo recently is actually run for the mayor of city of New York. And my all-time favorite, Renaissance man and legendary NYPD first-grade detective Sonny Grasso, had a successful career as an actor and film producer. The 1971 award-winning film The French Connection was based on Sonny cracking an international heroin smuggling ring. Now, another story about Sonny most people don't know that he told me was during the filming of The Godfather, when he was a technical consultant, Sonny lent his .38 caliber revolver to Al Pacino, who promptly murdered Salazzo the Turk and Captain McCluskey as they dined at an Italian restaurant on White Plains Road in the Bronx in the movie The Godfather. So as you can see, there's a lot of NYPD members that have caught the acting bug after their career and moved on to Hollywood. So if you get a chance, check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Vic Ferrari on Sterling on Sunday at 39 past the hour. We have the best time. Now, if you want to have a good time during the week, there's a show on Netflix I urge you to watch. It's called Kim's Convenience. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Kim's Convenience on Netflix. It is a story about a Korean family in Toronto that owns a convenience store. And the hilarity ensues. Well done, well written, incredibly well acted. It's called Kim's Convenience on Netflix. I'm Walter Sterling. Every now and then, I'll hear a song where I'll go, "What the? Well, I wish I had Shazam in my head." Because whenever I've wanted to use the Shazam app on my phone, I never get there on time. I never get it up and running on time. I have an Android phone, and they suck. But whenever I go to use my Shazam on my Android phone, it's not ready. It doesn't load up. By the time I'm there, I'm at the last note. I was with my Meredith, who's 15, in the car, coming back from dance practice. We heard this song on the radio, and we were both, oh my gosh, this is incredible. This is a remarkable song. And then I did a little work about who does it and when it was done. And I'll tell you who does it and when it was done after we share it. But I'd like you to hear it. Indulge me. Indulge me. Listen to this song.
Close to your heart.
Posted on my Facebook page from the Royal Albert Hall in 2010, the group's Aha. And it's called The Sun Always Shines on TV. That is such a remarkable song, coast to coast on Sterling on Sunday. Sterling on Sunday, great to be with you tonight. I'm Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday. Pay no attention to the noises in the background.
So growing up, I went to a very she summer camp, very she private school, all this stuff. And I was very public school. I was the public school scholarship kid. And one day when we were going to camp, I was very upset. I said to my father, I was like, Dad, everybody goes to these fancy places when summer is over. They go to St. Bart's, they go to St. Tropez. I was like, we go to Jones Beach, Dorney Park if we're lucky, you know, a two-door Ford Explorer from 1991. One of the doors doesn't open, the windows you have to slap down, the radio was stolen, and the engine you have to disconnect every time you park it type of beat. And he was like, listen, don't stress. This is what you tell them. You tell these kids you go on vacation in the Isles of Gristides. This is Gristides, a supermarket chain in New York. He said, these kids, they'll never know it's a supermarket because they don't go to supermarkets. Just tell them you'll be in the Isles. And so that's what I did.
888-688-WALT. We are live on a Sunday night on KDKA in Pittsburgh. It doesn't get better than being on KDKA. It is a great honor to be on KDKA. Who's running the board at KDKA right now? Who is that? Would you send me a note? I want to thank you on the air. Send me a note, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. You're running the board. Send me a note. I want your name. I want to say hi to you, and I want to thank you. There are very few radio stations in America that are truly, profoundly, historically important. And KDKA was the first commercial radio station in America. Every time I say, you know, I'm on KDKA, I'm like, you're kidding. How did that happen? Me and Reege Kordick are on KDKA. The song that you heard moments ago, I got tons of emails already, is called It's Always Sunny on TV. And the group is AHA, A-H-A, if you're not cool. And they recorded it in 1985, and that performance was in 2010 at the Royal Albert Hall. And I put it on my Facebook page so you can click it and enjoy it. It's one of those that changed the DNA. When I heard that, I listened to it for 800-900 times. My team, before we went on the air tonight, had to listen to me play it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, torture them. You can listen any song long enough and be tortured, but that's so good. That is just so good. Much better. There's a sort of same song by U2, but I think we can get rid of Texas, and I think U2 is one of the most overrated groups in the history of man. Again, one of those things you're not allowed to say. You're just not allowed to say. And now I have news for you. Are you ready? This is Toll Roads Today. This is information about toll roads, and it shows us that we're screwed. Here are the big items on the toll roads this week. Maryland selected Trans-Suburban-led team for Express Lanes Project. THEA unveiled a draft plan for South Selman Expressway improvements. Penn DOT outlined next steps in a major P3 and toll initiative. USDOT invited applications for 2021 infra grants. Illinois Tollway issued its annual material needs estimate. So the Illinois Tollways right now is sending out saying, hey, we're going to need material, and they're sending out their estimates as to what they're going to need. MTA board hiked tolls, weighed funding for congestion pricing infrastructure. In New York, they have been fantasizing about congestion pricing for years. The more people are on, the higher the toll. The more people that are not on, the less the toll. That's the big fantasy at the Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York. This will never happen. Biden's FHWA promised a timely review of MTA's congestion pricing plan. Here's what's going to happen. Nothing. Nothing, because between Bill de Blasio and Mario Cuomo, they're not going to be able to get the support for anything. Ice, snow, and frigid temperatures closed Texas toll roads. Closed the roads in Texas. And the NTSB said it will investigate last week's fatal TexPress crash. Those are some of the toll road news headlines, just some. And they're from a publication that you want to get called Toll Roads Today. It is a daily publication about news on the toll roads and how they're plotting and planning to increase our tolls. But you see, the problem is there's a myth. And the myth is that the tolls you pay go to maintaining the roads. And that's not true. The vast majority of money at any toll road goes to repay the debt of the bonds of paying the tolls. It goes to repaying the debt. That's what most of it goes to. About 10% goes to maintaining the road. If you smash into a guardrail on most toll roads, not all, but on most toll roads, you will get a bill. you damage that guardrail, you're going to get a bill, even though you just paid the toll to get on the road. In my opinion, these are the most crooked outfits there are because they don't do anything. Good luck if they have snow and ice. Good luck waiting to see how long it takes for them to clear it. There have been amazing emergency situations with ice and snow, especially in the Northeast on toll roads. And there's been, you know, the it's complete lockdown. Cars can't move at all. They don't plow the roads. They don't plow the roads. The cars are stuck there for 10, 20 hours. And what do? They leave the tolls open. They don't do the humane thing, which is shut the tolls and say, we're not going to take any more money. Oh, no, 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 we wouldn't do that. And they don't do what they're paid to do, which is to clear the roads of snow. No, no, no. There have been times around the Pennsylvania Turnpike, that thing has been shut for 10 hours because nobody can move. But, oh, my gosh, we're going to collect those tolls. Let's stay in touch. I make a podcast. I say things on the podcast I can't say on the radio. It's called Midnight Misfits at Apple iTunes. Midnight Misfits at Apple iTunes. And you can send me, I want to see what you're looking at. Send me a Sterling snap to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. This was a good show. I feel good about this show. Usually I get off the air and I'm miserable. Just miserable. Because, you know, I could have done more. I could have done something different. But this time I think we did all right. Let me know how we did. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And the greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.